Hi, I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Felt very formal. Hello.
Hello. It's been wild.
What's happening? My microphone keeps going in weird places.
It's possessed.
It really is. Over there. It really is. Yeah.
Listen, I thought your child was possessed today.
He's doing this evening. Some really interesting stuff.
It sounded like the exorcist in your bathroom.
He wasn't there. Well, first, he offered Haley some home goods.
He did. I walked in there because there was some sort of, like, waterfall something happening with the sink. And mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like I should just step in here to see what's happening. Mm-hmm. Everything was under control the first time I went in there. And there was this little, like, poinsettia. I don't know how you say that plant. This little, like, plant.
Christmas decor.
And he picked it up and he said, "This is a flower." And I'm like, "That's a beautiful flower." And he said, "It's yours now." And handed it to me. And I was like, "Well, thank you."
He really knows how to, entertain.
And he said, "You can put it on your counter." And I'm like, "Well, what if I just put it on this counter and it's just a different place?" And he's like, "That would be okay."
Yeah.
So I set it down there and I left the bathroom.
And Haley came back to me and said, "Your son is trying to give away all your home decor."
Yeah.
So I yelled out to him, "This is not Kirkland's. Please stop giving home decor away to our guests."
Yeah. I then went in, like, after a few more minutes of him, you know, just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was water in places water should not be. There was also an odd, like, we've later found out it was hand soap, but, like, the counter was yellow. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't figure out why it was yellow.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on in there. I was like, things have happened in here.
Okay, so for those of you who are parents out there, you know how sometimes, especially if you have one child, you just kind of need a minute. You just need that break, and you know darn well they're in there doing something mischievous. You know they are, but you just need a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in and you're like, "Oh, God." And it's just, you know, water and crap everywhere that you're going to have to clean up. Then you ask yourself, was that minute worth it? Because now I'm cleaning up all this, you know, mysterious yellow liquid. I don't know.
I mean, it was an adventure.
And again, just the reiteration for Haley of, like, birth control.
Birth control. Absolutely. Birth control. Absolutely. I love your kid.
He's cute.
So much.
He's super cute.
Don't want one full time.
Me neither.
Wait. I think you're stuck.
It's too little, too late.
Too late. Yeah.
Too late. Yeah. I think the thing about having an only child mm-hmm. is that he doesn't entertain himself.
Right.
My friend who has an only child who's a girl, she was saying actually to me the other day, she said, "Yeah, you know, I can turn a television show on for her." And she is like tuned into that TV for hours. And I was like, that doesn't work for my kid. My kid like will watch it for like a minute and then be on to something else and like doesn't really want to watch it. And so he wants my attention all the time. So it's really hard to do anything and like have a minute to yourself because he always wants my attention.
Yeah.
So, please send help. Please send help.
Well, it was an adventure tonight, I will say.
It was
a lot. I gained some home decor and got to witness a waterfall
yeah
in the bathroom
yeah That's our little slice of nature because it was great. We're not going out into the woods to see it.
Absolutely not. So we had to make one ourselves in the sink.
We did. And it was lovely.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, he wasted a crap ton of toothpaste.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yeah. I told him, do you think we're rich people? I revert back to like my grandmother suddenly. I'm like, do you think we're rich over here?
Yeah, it's like Depression era.
Exactly. Here. Like
in more ways than one.
We don't waste tissues. People are standing in line for Kleenex, you know? Like,
with your rinse out that Ziploc bag.
Exactly. And hang it up.
Yeah, to dry. Like,
to dry. Absolutely. Exactly. What are you thinking? Okay. We're going to hear a story. That's what we're here for.
I'm ready.
Okay. So today we're headed to Oliver Springs, Tennessee.
Cool.
This is an area near Knoxville.
Hey.
I know. Another Knoxville story. But y'all, Knoxville brings a murder and mayhem.
It does.
It really does. So this story takes place in 1940. So we're going way back, pre-World War II.
Nice.
So, in Oliver Springs, a coal mining town, by the way, it's February 5th, 1940. Two sisters, Ann Richards, age 48, and her sister Margaret, age 46, were getting ready for the day and planning their evening ahead. They were going to Knoxville with some friends to see a screening of Gone with the Wind.
Oh, what a horrible movie.
Fiddle-dee-dee. Why, Rat? Rhett Butler.
Listen, I have never seen it all the way through, but I did start watching, like, I guess in the middle of it, and it got to what I thought was the end.
Oh.
Turns out that was just the halfway point.
Yes.
I was like, true. Oh, well, that was a nice ending. And then we begin again, and I'm like, God, how much longer is this? And they're like, 2 hours. I'm like, what?
Oh, it's a 3-hour movie.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The part where she... I will never go hungry again. That seems like that should be the end. And it's not.
No.
Because you see what happens, you know.
Right.
Essentially after the ravaging of the South and what happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was, I was not prepared.
As a history buff.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of inaccuracies in the film that trouble me and just really irk me. I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
I don't like the Southern accents that are so bad. She's British, by the way. She's English.
I love that for her.
Which actually, American Southern dialect and British dialect aren't terribly far off from each other. But I don't know. I liked the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about pluses, I like the costumes. There are some things. I mean, some of the guys weren't bad to look at. Rhett Butler, bad to look at. Clark Gable.
Mm.
I heard, though, he had bad breath.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, so Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, yes. I went to see it. It won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1939, by the way, just so you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they were going to go see this film, and they wanted to make sure that they had the perfect outfits picked out.
Are we going, like, movie-accurate outfits, or they were just going to look nice?
That's something I'm not sure of, actually. Because, you know, back in the 40s, when you went to anything like this, like a picture show, or even if you went to, like, Sunday brunch or Sears, you dressed up.
Yeah.
Like, you looked nice. You, like, put on your Sunday best kind of thing. So, I don't know if they were putting on their Sunday best to go to the theater, or they actually were in historically accurate clothing. You know what I mean? So I don't know what that meant. That's just what I read. But in my mind, I thought that'd be pretty cool if they were dressing up in like antebellum South outfits.
Yeah.
Or they got something from the window and, you know, I just had to have it.
Mm.
You ever seen that Carol Burnett sketch? I saw it in the window and just had to have it.
Mm-mm.
So for y'all out there, if you haven't seen it, Carol Burnett had a sketch show, comedy sketch show, And she does a spoof of Gone with the Wind, and she does a Scarlett O'Hara thing where she says, he says, I just love your dress. And she said, I saw it in the window and I just had to have it. And it's got the rod hanging out of the back. It's really funny.
I love that.
It's super cute. Anyway, so they were picking out their dresses and planning for the day. They had a younger sister whose name was Mary. She also lived with them, but she worked in town as a teacher.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So Anne and Margaret waited for their errand boy. So I'm using this wording only because these were the terms used in the article.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily agree with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to reiterate this, but this is the terms they use. So I'm just going to say this. Okay.
Got it.
So they were waiting for their errand boy. His name was Powder Brown. Yeah. But here... His first name was Leonard, but he called himself Powder. Powder was his nickname.
Sure.
His last name was Brown.
Okay.
He was 16 years old.
Okay.
He was apparently an orphan.
Okay.
So they sort of had taken him in. Anyway, everybody sort of knew him in town, liked him. They were waiting for him to arrive. Powder was always helping them with last-minute details and various things that they needed help with. It's interesting, they sort of, in this article and the way they were sort of seen in town, these ladies, almost like they were elderly.
Hmm. They're just spinsters?
Yeah. Spinsters, but treated almost like elderly folk at 48 and 46. As someone very close to that age, I really feel like, wow.
I mean,
get your cane there, Grandma.
Golly, I feel like I'm 87. We've talked about it, though.
Well, after cleaning up the bathroom tonight, I kind of feel like it, but also, like, I guess I better get my son to help me across the street. It's just so funny. So as you've probably figured out by now, Anne and Margaret were pretty well off financially.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Their great-grandfather came to the United States from Wales, having made his fortune in coal. He came to Tennessee and continued to profit from iron and coal mining. He built a large mansion as well as a fancy hotel in town.
Mm-hmm.
The family was well known in town and were quite the socialites.
Nice.
Just like us.
Yeah. Just like us.
Just like us. In 1905, the hotel that they had built burned down, and the family went through some trials and tribulations with family members suing each other and a lot of hurt feelings over money, etc. You know, that tends to happen.
It's not something I'm going to have to worry about.
Same with me. Maybe that poinsettia. You don't know.
Maybe. I mean...
It was from the DG.
Yeah, that's...
It was fake.
Worth a lot.
I know.
Yeah. It did take a dive into the sink.
It did. So I don't know. I think it may have lost some of its value.
Drowned.
It did. So whoopsie. When Anne, Margaret, and Mary's father William died in the 1930s, their cousin Mamie tried to sue the county and the family estate in order to obtain land that she felt was rightfully hers.
Mm.
She didn't win, but all the court hearings were pretty costly, so it really cost the family.
Yeah.
So by the time we reach the 1940s, Anne, Margaret, and her sister Mary, they're living in the mansion alone, but they don't have as much money as one would think. Like, right. They're still pretty well off, but not as well off as the family was in the early 1900s.
Gotcha.
They're very generous with their money, and they like to help their friends and families, but they aren't dripping in money like we are.
Right. Just dripping in it. Yeah.
Oh, darling. Of course. They even offered to teach piano lessons to children in the community, both to help others, but also, you know, to make a little extra side money.
Nice.
Yeah. So, again, that speaks to some ladies who were just like, trying to pay bills. Like,
yeah.
Trying to get
by. You know, they're making their money.
Exactly. Making ends meet. Anyway, on the morning of February 5th, all that's, you know, seemed normal for the sisters. Mm-hmm. Between the hours of 11 a.m. and 12 p.m., things took a turn.
Hmm.
Someone entered the home and found Anne in the kitchen. She was shot at point-blank range in the head and killed instantly.
I thought you were going to say found in the kitchen, like making a pie or something.
she may have been just making her pie, maybe getting her dress ready for the Gone with the Wind screening. Who knows? God. Yeah, but she was shot in the head. And it says here that her sister Margaret tried to flee towards the stairs, but was shot twice in the throat and the head. Yeah. So it seemed like Margaret, you know, in a sense to like protect herself, was trying to run away.
Yeah.
And trying to like run up the stairs, but whomever caught up to her and killed her. Mm-hmm. Their errand boy, Leonard Powder Brown, had come around noon upstairs, mm-hmm. and I'm guessing that he had entered through the back staircase.
Yeah.
Because had he entered through the front, he would have seen Margaret there.
Right.
So I guess he came up the back staircase, and he came up the stairs, and he was met by the attacker, who I guess had waited for him. So I guess the attacker knew that he would be coming.
Yeah.
So waited for him and then shot him in between the eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Mary, Anne and Margaret's younger sister, sent one of her students to check on her sisters, something that she did daily.
Why?
This is something that didn't make sense to me, right? So I had to think about it in the context of something that they did back then, right? So you got to think, this is a very small town. She's a teacher in the community. Maybe this is something that she normally did. Again, we're sort of treating these women, these spinster women, like they're elderly or something. So maybe she was like, little Johnny, go check on my sisters and just make sure that they're okay. It's midday.
That's weird.
Make sure they took their medicine. I don't know. This is, it's strange to me too.
Yeah.
But she sends the little boy, go check on the sisters. So he goes, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes to the door and he knocks and no one comes to the door, but he reports saying, I heard weird noises, but nobody came to the door. So he goes back to school and reports back to his teacher, who says, huh, that's really strange. Okay. A father who was going to the house to pay for his son's piano lessons tried knocking at the door, and he too heard weird noises. You know, he obviously like someone in there talking, but no one answered the door. Again, he found that really strange, and he went away.
Weird.
A woman came to the house a little after noon with a delivery. She knocked at the back door. Nobody answered. And she heard voices to which she felt were white men inside the house. She thought that the voices were distinctly that of white men.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you tell race by the voice?
Again, this is the 1940s.
What?
It's the 1940s, so you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt there.
So,
yes.
Sure.
So, all of these people have come by the house. This is a lot of people coming by the house.
God, if that many people were coming by my house, I'd move.
I think about it. How long would our bodies be rotting before someone would find us? It would be a long time.
I live with my brother, so it would be pretty... Actually, no, he doesn't.
No, he wouldn't check on you.
He would not.
He would know.
No.
You work different schedules.
We do. It could be a week.
If not more.
I mean, I don't know. I talk to my family regularly. That's true. I was raised by an anxious mother.
It's true.
Who's, if she I don't, yeah, you. If I don't respond in a certain amount of time, she thinks I'm dead.
If it were you and I, though, I mean,
oh yeah, if we were the ones relying on each other to find our dead bodies,
dead
months,
yeah,
maybe a month.
I would say a month.
A month, maybe not months.
Month.
Maybe just a month.
Month.
Maybe just a month.
Solid month.
Yeah,
but would we come out to check on each other?
I mean, I don't know if I would think, like, maybe, yeah, probably. I'd probably come check on you. Maybe.
I felt you were holding back a little.
Well, I was like, I don't know, like, I don't think, like, we've never really been mad at each other. It's where, like, we haven't spoken. So I would think it'd be weird.
We normally don't speak.
Right.
But not of, like, you know, ill intent.
Yeah.
We just don't speak.
Right. We're not, like, daily check-in people. Mm-hmm. We're, like, once a weekers check-in. But, like, even if I don't hear back from you, like, if I text you and you don't answer, or if I call and you don't answer, I don't panic.
But I don't think I ever don't answer.
No, you usually answer.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't panic. I'd be like, oh, she's just busy. Like, I wouldn't worry.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so a month.
Okay,
yeah. Settling on a month.
Yeah.
But anyway, these people have got, like, 15,000
people. They have a lot of people checking on them, which also makes you think, why do they need so many people checking on them? Has there been things that have happened before that they need checking in? Do they have some kind of medical issue? That it just kind of lends itself to some questioning.
Yeah, it's weird.
So the end of the day occurs, right? So that's the end of the school day, and Mary dismisses her class. She goes back home, and she discovers her two sisters, one found in the kitchen, Anne, and the other found dead near the staircase. And she also discovers Powder Brown upstairs, shot dead.
Mm.
And her scream apparently was so loud that the entire town could hear it. Police arrived, and they found an old pistol by the body of Powder Brown.
Oh, no.
The local mortician recognized the gun because he had once owned it. And he Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's like, that's my gun.
He went, oh, that is the gun that I used to have. He actually sold the gun to a member of the Hanna family, and the Hanna family lived across the street from Anne and
Margaret.
Margaret, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I got you.
I had like a moment of like,
that's weird.
Yeah, yeah. So not only that, but to be able to be like, ah, that's my gun. I recognized you. So here's the thing about the crime scene. Not just the police came and walked through.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody did.
I'm sure
they did. The entire town, friends, family, you know, people who just were curious. I mean, that sounds like something we would love to partake in.
Absolutely. It's giving me reminders of the family that was murdered on Christmas near Stokes County.
That we did
with the raisin and the raisin mm-hmm. cake. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's what it's reminding me of.
Well, 'tis the season. I mean, it is the 21st of December.
Sure is.
Ho, 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 by the way, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. So everybody's walking through the freaking crime scene, and everybody's making their own judgments. It's at this point that the sheriff, who has walked through the crime scene, declares he knows exactly what happened.
I'm glad he does.
And everyone says, well, do tell, Sheriff. And the sheriff says, it was a murder-suicide.
Of course it was.
He said that Powder Brown had killed the sisters and then turned the gun on himself. It was a clear case of murder-suicide, and the case is closed.
Wasn't that convenient?
Wasn't it, though? Mm. So the sheriff goes on to pose for newspaper photographs, holding the pistol out with his hand and pressing the barrel straight into his forehead.
That is concerning.
Isn't it, though?
A little bit.
And stupid.
Don't put guns to your head.
The headline read on the front page, quote, Sheriff Sure Negro Fired in Mad Rage.
Ew.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Here's the thing. Oh, me too. But here's the thing. While the sheriff had proclaimed this, the sheriff's an idiot. But while the sheriff had proclaimed this, others didn't believe it.
Right.
The coroner's inquest of 12 local men all met to review the evidence, and they learned that there was absolutely no gunpowder residue anywhere on Powder Brown. Anywhere. and they heard that the bullet's downward path through Powder's head did not fit that of a self-inflicted gun wound.
Well, and, like, that's not an easy angle. Like,
exactly.
To shoot yourself between the eyes is not an easy angle.
Exactly.
Like, side of the head and underneath is easier. Mm-hmm. Like, you tend to see more of that with suicides.
Yep.
Involving a gun. But, like, between the eyes is it's a difficult angle.
And the gun used was antique.
Right. So even more difficult.
Making it even more difficult to shoot. And something else to note here was that Powder Brown was absolutely terrified of guns. He was terrified of fireworks and anything that made a loud noise. Mm. And remember, he was only 16 years old. He was a child. A he never really shot guns. He was absolutely petrified of them. And they said that even when, like, a car backfired or any kind of loud noise he heard, he would run away in fear.
Mm.
So there is no way he would have shot a gun or even shot himself.
Right.
So those who were doing the inquest went to the sheriff and said, listen, we do not believe that Powder Brown did this.
Right.
And the sheriff looked at them at the time and said, quote, well, it's my call. End quote.
Hmm.
Sheriff, I know you're dead and buried at this point, but I want to talk to you and I want to tell you something directly. You're an idiot.
That's not how evidence works.
Yeah. You don't walk through an entire crime scene, have absolutely no evidence, and then just make up your mind.
And decide, well, this seems like the easiest answer. Let's go with that one.
Case closed.
Done.
Let me go pose for the magazine now.
With a gun to my head.
Yeah. Stupid.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So the sisters were buried in brand new dresses that they had planned to wear that night. So I'm guessing that they weren't
wearing the dresses yet.
Well, no, I'm guessing they were probably of 1940s era and not
antebellum style. Gotcha. Yeah, that would be a little...
Well, especially with the, you know, the petticoats and everything underneath. That would be. That's always very difficult to put into a casket.
Yeah.
So they were laid to rest to kind of stuff them all in. Yeah. Although, you do have a Scarlett O'Hara vibe with your hair, so...
Me?
Mm-hmm. With your redhead.
Yeah. I thought you meant with my petticoat.
No, but I mean... We could put you in your casket with a petticoat.
Okay. I have a short, like, I have a crinoline that I used to wear for...
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, crinoline. I like that.
It's a short one. It was for clogging.
Well, let's get a longer one for you, and we could do, like, a whole big dress.
Be great.
I would love that.
Okay.
Ooh. So many ideas now.
See the wheels turning.
I know, and... It's not good for you.
That's terrifying.
They were laid to rest side by side in the Oliver Springs Cemetery in the family plot beside their mom and dad. Mm. Powder Brown's body was taken out of town and placed in a remote graveyard surrounded by thick woods and laid to rest so that no one could take vengeance out on his body.
Mm.
And there are actually no known photographs of him that exist.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which I just feel like Powder Brown suffered and no, you know, ill will towards or ill thoughts toward Anne or Margaret, but I feel like Powder really suffered more than any of them here, you know, just in his life and death. And yeah.
His memory.
So Mary Richards, the youngest sister, ended up moving to Atlanta to be closer to her older brother, Joseph.
Mm.
And their surviving siblings sold the mansion to the American Legion for $1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that they just wanted rid of it. Probably the memories and all the other things.
Yeah.
But about 7 years later, after selling it, a fire broke out and destroyed the mansion.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So Had there been any other evidence left in the mansion, it's just forever gone. So let's talk about what we know really quickly.
Okay.
So what we know is that robbery wasn't a motive because there was nothing gone.
Okay.
Nothing was stolen. Cigarette butts were found in an upstairs bedroom that suggested that someone had placed themselves in a key vantage point to watch the comings and goings from outside. So, like, somebody was up there waiting.
Weird.
So, it seems like somebody was watching and waiting for maybe Powder Brown or somebody else to come in and out of the house, maybe after they had killed the sisters.
Ew.
Yeah. And a theory that has been going on and on and on is that someone in the Hannah family across the street might have been involved because they had been engaged in a property dispute with the Richards at one time. And, you know, Anna Margaret Richards.
Right.
And there was, in fact, a pistol that was owned by the Hannah family. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
The one that was found by Powder Brown's body.
Mm-hmm.
The one that the coroner, or the mortician, I guess, had sold to them.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that's not looking good.
I don't think so. I mean, and don't you think that's convenient?
Yeah.
So there was also some speculation that two black convicts might have killed the three while stopping in town after being released from Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary.
Interesting.
If you haven't caught it, we did an episode probably a year and a half ago on Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. It's a very good one.
Okay.
Please catch it.
Okay.
All right. So, in 2000,
wow.
So we're moving forward in time about 60 years.
Yeah.
An African-American man who had once lived in town came forward. He told a local journalist that he had fled town decades ago as a young man because he'd seen two men leaving the Richards mansion around the time of the killings. These men had spotted him and told him if he knew what was best, he would forget ever seeing them and leave the area as soon as possible. He only came back when he knew the men were dead.
Interesting.
The police chief at the time, Messengill, looked into the case from 2000 until his death in 2015.
Okay.
And came to two conclusions. The first conclusion was that Powder Brown couldn't have been the killer.
Obviously.
Absolutely. And the other was the two local men and the cousin, Mamie, who had lost her bid for the family property back in the 30s, were the perpetrators.
Interesting.
Yep. Mamie, by then, had been dead,
right.
You know, 20-plus years. But one of the suspects had ended up killing the other with a gun and disposing of his body.
Wow.
Yep. And Messengill said he got dealt the same way the Richard sisters did. He was disposed of, shot, and killed, and can't talk anymore, end quote. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I'm voting it was those guys.
I think so. So maybe the Hannahs didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe somehow. I don't know what the deal with the gun was.
Right. It's weird that. It's weird that it was their gun, though.
Yeah, so maybe. I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe they did have something to do with it with the gun. I don't know. I don't know what that does. So we'll figure it out. But, So. Powder Brown rested tucked away in a cemetery with no stone, but thanks to a member of the Richards family, one was placed about 20 years ago in a cemetery where he resides southeast of town.
Mm.
His exact whereabouts are still unknown. It's not clear who is still alive from his own family, because like I said, he was an orphan at the time he died, but he was very well known around the town and very well liked. In 2024, he will mark his 100th birthday.
Wow.
Yep. He was well remembered, and there is a song by East Tennessee musician Kipper Stitt of the band Pine Mountain Railroad. And it kind of goes, still in his teens, no evil he done. Powder was timid, just ask anyone. Three lay dead, three were slain. Someone was guilty, was Powder to blame. The sky was so dark and bitter winds blowing on a cold winter day in 1940. That's part of the song. Before he died, Sheriff Messengill really felt that the blame was put on Powder Brown because he was a young black man and didn't have any rights.
Right.
And the women in this case who were murdered didn't have any rights, so it was really easy to put the right the blame on, you know, these women, this poor black man, like, you know, because it's easy to write away in the history books of like, oh yeah, it was his fault, like, oh well, you know, case closed, you know, done, easy peasy. And so how sad that this poor, and he was a little kid. He was a kid.
Yeah.
And he lost his life and took the blame for these women, you know?
Yeah, for this crime.
For this crime. Yeah. So anyway, that is the Oliver Springs murder of 1940. So much for, you know, going to see Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I mean.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
That's a real bummer. That's a real
bummer. I would say it really is, isn't it? Well, you know, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and all the wonderful things that are, you know, coming your way.
This time of year,
I know.
You know, stay healthy. It's been a wild time with sickness.
Yes, it has been.
But enjoy your holiday season.
Stay well, friends. If you have some feedback to share, we would love to hear it. You can email us at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. You can find us on Instagram, mountainmysteries.appalachia, and Patreon, patreon.com/mountainmysteries. Got a shout out for us?
I'm working on it.
She is working on it.
I am working on it.
Me too.
Here we go. Maybe. Here we are.
Maybe.
Well, let's looky here. How about Lebanon, Pennsylvania?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, y'all. Well, have a wonderful holiday, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.